morning. I want to welcome everyone to Glenshell Valley Presbyterian Church and thank you for coming out on this beautiful, warm day. I'm loving this hot summer myself. I know some of you are looking for fall, and it will come. The seasons come and go. Several announcements. First, if you take your red pad, sign it, pass it down, name, address, that type of information, we would appreciate it. Sorgles donated some beautiful flowers for out front in the church, and so we thank him for that and the person who planted them. And if you'd like to come down at your leisure and pull some weeds, we would love to have you do that. So also we are seeking out a new treasurer. Our beloved treasurer is going to step down on December 31st and be glad to give you some training. It's a little different than it used to be years ago because the secretary is helping with it. So even though it's still a big responsibility, you do have help along those lines. So be thinking about it. New hymnals, $30 per book. You can get them, and you can still buy one and sign the card and in memory and honor and celebration to someone if you would like. And they've been ordered, correct? Excuse me? Okay, the order for the hymnals has actually been received, so they should be in soon, the new Glory to God hymnals. The other ones we've had for about 26 years, so it's going to be a nice change of pace. And remind you, the food bank, we're taking monetary donations that get sent to the Edna Food Bank, Calvert Food Bank. And still continue to sign up for scripture readers. We really enjoy having you do that. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Opening hymn of praise, an old favorite, How Firm a Foundation, 275. Amen. Let our worship continue with the prayer of confessions you find printed in your bulletin. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the heroes of faith. We praise you for guiding them during difficult times. Forgive our lack of faith. Forgive us for thinking that you do not love us when our lives are hard. Teach us how to hold on to you every day. Remind us that faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. Help us to believe that we walk by faith and not by sight. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's take a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes for a personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Christ we are forgiven. Join together this morning with a real sense of unity as we recite our Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From hence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let's take a moment to greet one another. If you don't know someone's name, introduce yourself and ask their name. Well, you see why we like having Mickey back. Our responsive reading is Maturity 669. Maturity in the back of your red hymnals, 669. He gave some as apostles and some prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. As a result, we're no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves, and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. Though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. We did not have any cards turned in for prayer or thanksgiving this morning, but I've got three written down that I would like to mention. Robin Pate is going in for some tests, 8th or 9th of August. The doctor believes that she has myasthenia gravis. I hope I'm saying that right. So appreciate prayers for her. She's been falling, seeing double. Got a couple of concussions. She got a black eye right now, even falling in church, and muscle weakness. So all those things, but there are medicines that can help if that's what it is. Some of you remember Jim Cool and his wife, and Nancy and David and Brian, who came here for many years. I went over to visit Jim Thursday and served him what is probably going to be his last communion. He's in very bad shape, very weak, and I had to sit right in front of him and lean over to hear him speak. So please be in prayer for Jim Cool. Also, I'd like for us to pray. You've seen on the news all the hot car episodes where children are dying, and the latest one, twins died in the back of a car. And that's just horrible, to forget your child. And I know anything is possible. But when I was listening to this, I wanted the news reports. This is what they said, so you not leave your child in a hot car. Put your cell phone in the back seat. Do you understand that? You're not going to forget your cell phone, but you're going to forget the children that are in the back seat, your children, and leave them to die. So I really want to pray that this will stop. Whether more laws need to be passed, I don't know. But and dogs also, you know, animal lover I am. So let's pray for that, and pray for Glenshaw Valley, for growth, for love, for unity, for all the things that God wants out of Glenshaw Valley. Let us bow in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you on this hot August morning, knowing that soon it'll be September, and it will be October, and it will cool down, and the leaves will fall. And then before we know it, we'll have snow. Then spring will come, and then we'll be back to summer once again. Remind us of the seasons of our lives. that sometimes we're going along and everything is going very well. Then maybe in a moment's time, something tragic happens, or we get bad news, or whatever it might be. And other times we're just kind of walking along on a level plane. Sometimes the valley, sometimes the plain, sometimes the mountaintop. But remind us that you are there with us each and every day, every step of the way, and that we have the privilege, the right, the need to go to you in prayer through Jesus Christ, who is our great high priest. So we lift up these prayer concerns to you today, the ones that I mentioned, the ones that people have in their hearts that they've not spoken out, those listed in the Valley newsletter and the bulletin. Remind us to peruse those names and each day to pray to you for ourselves, for others, for our entire world. Thank you, Lord, for your compassion. Thank you for guiding us and sending us the Holy Spirit and Jesus, that we might have life eternal. We thank you for all the lessons that were given to us through the scriptures, what the saints have taught us, and especially what Jesus has taught us how to live, and for this very beautiful prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our next hymn is the hymn of preparation. This is a screen song. We walk by faith and not by sight. This is new. This is one coming from the new hymnals, Glory to God. But as you maybe you don't know, we also have the PowerPoint part of it. But the books have been ordered and will be coming in soon. So sing this like you know it.
thankful that death and the grave could not hold him. After 3 days, you raised him from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of your power and your glory. Then the Holy Spirit was sent back to establish your church, to empower your people who are the church. So we thank you for that. As Pastor Glenn Shaw Valley, I thank you for every gift that has been given and every gift that has been used. Whether people think it is a big gift or a small gift, it doesn't matter. All gifts are good. Anything that we do for your glory helps the world. It helps people's lives. Lord, pour out your Spirit afresh upon us. Renew our faith. Guide us in all that we do. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and even our friend.
Good morning. This morning's scripture is from Hebrews 11, 1 through 16. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith our ancestors received approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain's. Through this, he received approval as righteous, God giving him approval to his gifts. He died, but through his faith, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken so that he did not experience death, and he was not found because God had taken him. For it was attested before him, he was taken away that he had pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. For whoever would approach him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, warned by God that events as yet unseen, respected the warning and built an ark to save his household. But this he condemned the world and became an heir to the righteousness that is accordance with faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he set out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed for a time in the land he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith he received power of procreation, even though he was too old, and Sarah herself was barren, because he considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one person, and this one as good as deed, descendants were born, as many as the stars of heaven and as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. All of these died in faith without having received the promises, but from a distance they saw and greeted them. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth. For people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking homeland. If they had been thinking of the land that they had left behind, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, he has prepared a city for them. This is the reading of God's word.
Thank you, BJ. I don't know that anyone in our congregation is into extreme sports. I think most of us have passed that age, even if we wanted to be. But there are cameras in extreme sports, and one is called a high-definition GoPro Hero. Now, you can mount this to handlebars on your bicycle or your motorcycle, or put it on the dashboard of your car. People are even putting them on dogs and just getting all kind of fun things. Since the biblical characters could not do anything like this. And we do not have any recordings of what they look like or their lives firsthand doing things. We have instead the biblical heroes were written about in the Bible and written about in this 11th chapter of Hebrews. Imagine you're seeing these scenes set in high definition. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the army had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed along with those who were disobedient. And how about Gideon and Samson and David and all the prophets and judges who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised? Who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength. You want action heroes in your life? These were action heroes, and they were real people. Of course, not all of them, no matter how good they were, tasted victory in their lives. When you talk about an extreme lifestyle, these men and women were looked into the face of torture. They looked into the face of death, but did not flinch. They were not always victorious, but they were heroes just the same, real life heroes. Hebrews 11 is sometimes called the faith chapter or the chapter of heroes. And when you think about it, faith by its very nature is heroic. We don't know what tomorrow may bring. And yet, we step forward every day. And we step forward into the next day by faith, believing God, following God, trusting a God that we cannot see, that we cannot have the kind of conversation that we can have with one another, even though we can talk to God. And God does speak to our spirits if we will really listen. Hebrews was written to Rome during the Roman time of Nero around 66 AD. And you all know the story of Nero. It said that he set the city on fire and fiddled while Rome burned. But what did Nero do, as many people do, not just politicians, but we do in our own lives? We don't want to take responsibility for it, so we blame someone else. He did it, she did it. It wasn't my fault. Don't look to me. But when he blamed the Christians, this unleashed a persecution on the Christians that I don't think that they expected, and they sought to destroy this tiny band of believers. They were tortured and killed in every way imaginable. And it was during this time that the Christians began using the symbol of the fish. You know the symbol of the fish. It's in churches, and you'll see it on books, and you see it on bumper stickers and on the back windows of cars, a little fish saying, "I'm Christian." But it's an acronym for the biblical phrase, Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior. And it was a secret password among these terrorized Christians. The way you reveal yourself to a fellow Christian, if you didn't already know and you're trying to have a conversation, because you didn't just want to walk up to them and say, "Hey, I'm a Christian," they may not be, and they may report you to the authorities, and there you are being tortured or losing your life. But you would take one of your feet and you would draw half the fish in the sand, and if the other person was a Christian, he would take his foot and he would finish the drawing, making the symbol of the fish. Then they both understood, we are Christians, we are safe talking with one another. With persecution, many began Jews returning to the synagogue where they had grown up and where they had worshiped and where they had been taught. They were having a very difficult time reconciling this persecution and what was happening to Christians and might happen to them after what they had been taught. After all, they had been taught growing up that if you do right, You will always have God's blessings in your life. Now, under Nero's persecutions, they were beginning to think to themselves that it had been wrong to turn away from the faith of their parents. They thought they no longer had to be... They thought that no longer had God's blessings touched them since they had become Christian. As a matter of fact, they were beginning to think just the opposite had happened. Because I'm being a Christian, everything bad now is happening to me, so maybe I had better go back to the Jewish faith instead of staying with Christianity. You know, many of us believe deep in our hearts that if I am a follower of Jesus, that God will bless my life and protect me from all harm. And many pulpits today are teaching the gospel of prosperity. If you just follow Jesus and then you give so much money and you do, you'll become rich and you're not ever going to be sick. And it just doesn't hold true. I mean, look at the biblical characters and what happened to them. Look at what happened to the very disciples, the apostles, all killed except one. So many of us believe that if we follow Jesus, God will prosper us in all good things. But unfortunately, life doesn't really work that way. The fact that you are prospering does not mean that necessarily that God favors you. And if you're going through a difficult time, it does not mean that God has forsaken you or that God is punishing you. The writer of Hebrews says this about suffering saints of God. So they are people of whom the world is not worthy. Don't you ever confuse your life situation with questions about God's blessings in your life. God loves you regardless of where you are on the scale of life's fortunes or our life's misfortunes. Read the Bible and you will see there a conspicuous absence of trappings of earthly material success as a reward for faith in the lives of many of these biblical characters. Not all of them. You know, some were kings. Abraham became rich. And the greatest hero of all, of course, is our Savior, who died a horrific death upon the cross at Calvary. The fact that you are prospering does not mean that God favors you. And if you're going through a difficult time, it does not mean that God has forgotten or forsaken you. God loves you regardless of the situation that you find yourself in this day, or maybe something in the past, or maybe something that is going to happen to you in the future. But the secret to a great life is to hold on to God and to prepare for whatever may come your way in this life. Jesus said very clearly that God causes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. In other words, good people prosper, bad people prosper. Good people suffer, and bad people suffer. But if you expect the best, but if life should deal you a crippling blow, and which it often does, be prepared for it and hold on to God, because God is not going to turn loose of you. Reverend Ray Pritchard tells about a professor who, along with his son, went on a 1,000-mile hiking experience through mountains and all kind of different terrain. They faced every sort of discouragement, lack of food and water, wild animals. They faced the possibility of robbers. They experienced days of rain and mud and incredible physical exhaustion, the real possibility of physical injury. And if you've ever hiked something at all like the Appalachian Trail, it is very, very difficult, and there are wild animals and all kind of crazy weather comes up. But before leaving on the trip, the professor was reading about it, and he discovered that 90% of the people who tried a 500-mile backpacking trip quit before they reached 500 miles. And these two guys are going on 1,000 miles. And what he learned, that the biggest obstacle was mental. Mental. Before leaving on the trip, He understood this. So he and his son talked about it, and they put it in their mind and began to understand that those who succeed make two important decisions. Not just in backpacking, you can transfer this to life. First, they decided they would finish the trip no matter what happened. Second, they expected bad things to happen and decided that they would not be surprised or dismayed when something bad happened. So when the rains turned the trail into a mud pit, they didn't quit because they weren't surprised. When black clouds of mosquitoes descended upon them, they didn't quit because they weren't surprised. They knew that the key was simply putting one foot in front of the other and keep going. You take a step in the mud, you take another step. You see a bear, you really take a step. You take another step and your legs begin to cramp. You take another step and another step and another step, and you keep going. Doesn't matter. You aren't surprised because you expected difficult things to arise, and you think to yourself, I can rise above these difficult circumstances and I can continue on my journey. I can do it. So you just keep putting one foot in front of the other, and eventually the journey is finished and you have your victory. This text from Hebrews reminds us of the fact that being a believer does not protect us from experiencing troubles in life. I've said it before, if just becoming a Christian meant that you were 100% healthy and you were rich and everything went well in your life, everybody would say, well, I want that. But it doesn't work that way. This is a testing ground for us. I never say that God puts that upon you, but just things in the natural events happen, and it happens to all of us. Life is very tenuous. Life at times can be very terrifying. So hold on to God and prepare yourself for whatever life may send on this bumpy ride during your lifetime. But remember, you are not alone in your struggles. And I like that part. It is beautiful how the writer of Hebrews concludes this passage. Remember, he has just given the readers a long list of persons who had remained faithful to God even after suffering horribly and even death. Then he writes these very stirring words. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning his shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The metaphor that Rod uses, that, of course, of a race, and a marathon lasts a long time. And those who run the 26-mile marathons, I'm sure many of them say, oh, man, that was tough, and I almost can't believe that I made it to the end, especially those doing it for the first time. But you and I are running a race called life. And when we get it in our minds that everything should go easily for us, we're in for more trouble, because it is not always easy. So we draw our strength and our inspiration from the heroes who have gone before us and given us beautiful examples. They did not give up, and neither shall we give up. As individuals, as a family, as a church, as a nation, we don't give up. In every generation, there are people from all walks of life who deserve to be called heroes. But what does it take to be a hero? It means whatever your background or the circumstances, walk in the footsteps of Jesus. Follow Jesus. Try to do what he did. Try to live as he lived. Try to love as he loved. Try to help heal as he healed. It means never giving up whatever life throws at you. It doesn't mean that you want it. It doesn't mean that you're happy about it. Oh, I've got this disease, so I'm just going to celebrate it. I'm not saying that. The Bible's not saying that. It says keep looking to God. It means never giving up whatever life may throw at you. It means serving God and serving humanity and trying to make the world a better place. So look to Jesus for encouragement. Look to Jesus for direction. Look to the biblical characters for inspiration. And I want to say this. We need to look to one another for inspiration also. The heroes within our church, the heroes in your neighborhood, the heroes in other churches who really love Jesus and want the church to prosper, not for selfish reasons, but they want the church to prosper so that more people who are having difficulty in life will come in to the church, which we're the church, but come into the building where we can worship, where we can grow, where we can lift one another up and inspire one another. May God bless you. Amen. A hymn of response, Standing on the Promises, 271.